Scripture reading this morning comes from Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. It reads, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water."
It's good to see everyone here this warm summer morning. My lesson this morning, if you will, as we go through today, that you look at the similarities between Israel and the United States of America. You know, the last couple of lessons I have done some things, spoke on some things leading up to our election. And this is no different, just a different road, if you will. Not about parties, but about inhabitants. Because that's what our nation is, a land of inhabitants. Jeremiah was sent by God to stem the tide of rebellion against God. His writings stand apart from other writings in that if you look closely, it's full of sarcasm and ridicule. Jeremiah was denouncing a sinful people and trying to scare a nation from ruin and damnation. This book is written like a railroad crossing sign. Stop, look, and listen. In Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 32, Jeremiah said, "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? And yet my people have forgotten me days without number." You know, as I go around and look around in a lot of ways, in a lot of things, there are so many that you can go out there and they've got jewelry on every finger of every hand. And yet there's clothing that can barely cover a body. That most wives cannot forget the gown that they were married in. Even though sometimes some wives forget the man they married, they don't forget the gown. And she will always treasure that dress. This sarcasm showed Israel how they were treating God. In Jeremiah 3 and verse 20, it says, "Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have ye dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, thus saith the Lord." Their degradation is exposed in Jeremiah 5 and verses 30 through 31. "A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof?" The scripture that Rusty read this morning was one of the most sarcastic rebukes that Jeremiah spoke. Talking about broken cisterns. When I went with my son to Haiti after the earthquake, the place that we stayed in, the preacher's house, while they had running water, that wasn't functioning. They did have a cistern. The cistern was covered with a steel plate that you would lift up. you didn't drink the water. A lot of them used that water to shave. I was even leery about using the water to shave in because I do have a tendency sometimes without a mirror to nick myself. So I rather took the chance of shaving dry, which is not fun either. The only water that we had that I was comfortable with is when it rained. And that was it. And that was our showers. 2 days out of the 7 days it rained. And that was our shower. The cisterns. And a lot of people from ancient times got their water from these. It was water runoff, either from the roofs of the houses or whatever. And the bad part of it is that cisterns caught more than just water. All kinds of contaminants would accumulate. This is what was happening to Israel. Now, as I mentioned in the beginning, compare Israel to the United States of America. All kind of filth and contamination, along with stagnation. The broken cistern that Jeremiah is talking about allows the water to run out, and the only thing left is the contamination. Israel is partaking of the filth that is around them. But it wasn't because it was forced on them. It was because they had a choice. Israel was delivered out of the bondage by the hand of God. And they were pledged to Him at Sinai. There they drank the fountain of living waters. They feasted on the manna that God provided. God gave them divine guidance and provisions. Just a few centuries ago, people came to this nation in an exodus to escape the persecution and escape the filth of the nations they came from. And our founding fathers, in their wisdom, devoted themselves to God. They designed documents that would protect our religious liberties. But we've let it slip through our hands. Not because we were forced to, but because we just let it happen. God warned Israel in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 12 not to be caught up in the affluence of the promised land. In verse 12 he says, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." In class this morning I talked about how we are enticed with affluence in one of the car commercials we talked about. And a baby can't sleep in the middle of the night, so dad says, "I'll take him out in such and such a car for a drive and I'll get him back to sleep." And he drives all night because he wants to drive the car. He's not interested in putting the baby to sleep. He wants to drive the car. And then he pulls up in front of this big fancy house. Well, when I see the commercials, I want that. And not just the car. I like the big fancy house too, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to get it. You see, as a nation, we've become used to the affluency. And the more others have, the more we want. We're selling our souls. Just as it didn't take long for Israel to turn away from this living fountain of waters to broken cisterns, it only took us a couple hundred years. in the 106th Psalm in verses 13 through 15, David said they soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request and sent leanness to their souls. God didn't tell them they had to drink from the cisterns. They gave them that choice. God's not telling us to drink from the cistern, but they're giving us, we are given the choice. As Israel paid a terrible price, so will we. Have you ever gone down to the Reedy River, downtown Greenville, and you see the nice, it looks clean water coming over the falls? There's signs everywhere. Don't even let your dog in the water. People, we've got, brethren, we've got water that is pure. Don't drink the Reedy River. You will pay a terrible price. How did the cistern get broke? It became corrupt. Streams, think about this, of ignorance, false doctrines, moral decay, idolatry, fed the broken cisterns that were dug out by Israel. And it is feeding our cisterns today. Israel turned away from God's truth. They turned to human traditions. They turned to false religions. We've done the same exact thing. Israel took heathen wives, which they were warned not to. And these wives led them into idolatry. Love will have you do some stupid things sometimes. They accepted the pagan gods so that they could be like all the other nations. Streams of traditions and false doctrines, many of them have retained some of God's laws, but polluted it with a deadly potion of error. Many of you probably remember this year of two cases, one in Charlotte, North Carolina, the other one in Augusta, Georgia, where two individuals, one going down the whitewater rafted things in Charlotte and another one dove into a lake or the river down to Augusta and got water up their nose. And you're like, well, I do that all the time. That happens to me sometimes in the shower. But a little harmless organism, an amoeba, was forced up into their sinus cavity by the force of the water. And while if you ingest it, it's harmless, but when it gets through the membrane and gets into the brain, it creates an almost always fatal disease. Only just a couple of cases have ever survived it. Our waters are polluted. This only took one little amoeba. But look at the pollution that our country is facing today. God continued to beg Israel to return. God is still begging mankind today to return. In Jeremiah 6 and verse 16, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in my ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls." But what did the people say? No, we're not going to do that. The filthy debris of doctrinal error and corruption of idol worship threatened the lives of all who were lured to drink from those broken cisterns. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 18 and verse 15, he said, "Because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in the paths, in the way not cast up." Society of today, just as much as it did then, enjoys their idol worship. And so they're falling off that path of righteousness. But here's the fatal step of Israel's departure. It was the infusion of human religion that turned Israel from God. And you'll say, well, we don't have human religion today. Yes, we do. It's all around us. It has permeated our daily lives so much that we can't even recognize it anymore, because we have grown so accustomed. The infiltration of false doctrine was slow and gradual. It wasn't a sudden surge. You know what happened last week? The denominational churches were celebrating the Reformation movement 300 years ago. I didn't hear anybody say we need to celebrate the Restoration movement. All they did was change a couple of little things, and they didn't change anything at all. But that was the big thing. Several congregations, denominational congregations, had festivals to celebrate, special messages. You'd have thought it was Christmas time or Easter all over again. Man has gotten to lack and respect God's authority. And so have we as a nation. Before Israel was allowed to enter into the promised lands, God said to them in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9, He gave them this command. All these words which I commanded, we mentioned this in Bible class this morning, and we read them, shall be in thy heart, that you shall teach them diligently unto thine children. Teach God's word diligently. And then he says when? He says you will talk to them. You will teach them these commands when they sit in the house, when you're walking in the paths, when you lie down, when you wake up. It's all the time. This is how you're to teach your children. You can't go every day and teach them out of God's word every moment of every day, but you teach with your actions too. He says you will bind them for a sign upon your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Now, we don't literally do that, and God didn't want them to literally do that, but what He was trying to get them to understand is put it here so you never forget. And we forgot. Our children's religious education consists of bringing them to church one day a week. Think about that. And yet we expect them to be prepared for the world and to stand in faith to God when they are out there on their own, by giving them one day a week to hear God's word. Think about that. We give them one day and the world has them 6 days. What kind of pollution do you think is going to be in their hearts and minds? You will spend one day just trying to get out what the world has put in for 6. When we look at the state of our country today, we've got no one to blame but ourselves. You can't blame this party or that party. We've allowed it to happen. We've given away our rights to parties and ideologies. Another source of contamination for Israel was they wanted to be like the other nations. They had to have a king to lead them instead of having God do the leading. We want to do the same thing. We want this person or that person to tell us where to go, what to say, what to do. All these things have culminated in complete rebellion and a refusal to walk in the old paths. Israel longed only for the broken cisterns that didn't hold any water, and our country today is longing for those broken cisterns that doesn't hold any water. Period. Paul, Romans 15 and verse 4 and 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, he tells us why we need to remember these things in the Old Testament. Because they're for our learning. And through patience and comfort, we might have hope. But he also said that they are examples and they were written for our admonition. Brethren, we need to remember these today. Israel had a fountain of living waters. They cast it aside, but that promise is also for us. In Zechariah 13 and verse 1, now you remember this is hundreds and hundreds of years before Christ was born. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Christ. In Zechariah 14 verses 8 and 9, and it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem. Half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and winter it shall be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one, the church. The church. That fountain would be opened, and there would be one Lord, and his name having sole authority. It was Jesus himself who spoke of this fountain. In John 4 and verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This is a definite promise, my friends. This fountain has been opened up for all men. It's not selective. It's open for everyone. Peter set forth the terms of salvation on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ. Men were convicted of their sins. It says that their hearts were pricked. They understood. Their eyes were opened. The scales fell off. They could see. They could hear. They could understand for the first time. And they asked what they had to do to be saved. And Peter gave them the answer. And when they obeyed, and it said, and they gladly received his word and were baptized in the same day, there were added unto them 3,000 souls. Since that time, multiplied thousands have drank from that fountain. As the terms of salvation spread, just as said in Zechariah 14, from the former sea and from the hinder sea. That word spread like fire. The apostles doing exactly what Jesus wanted. And then it happened. The church that Christ established had this great and glorious beginning, but it didn't take very long for man to seek the man-made cisterns. It didn't take long at all. In Acts 20 and verses 29 through 30, Paul, talking to the elders at Ephesus, he said, I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. And also your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. It was coming. And while the apostles were alive, they were at least able to, as Barney Fife said, nip it in the bud. But after they were gone, it took off like wildfire. Because men come in and said some very nice things. Well, that sounds nice. That sounds godlike. With Paul's departure just almost there, he wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4. And in the first three verses, he said to Timothy, now the Spirit speaks expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now we can almost pick out the one denomination that followed that to the letter, didn't we? Man has turned to the broken cisterns that humans have dug. They despise, and we are despised, because of the doctrine that we love. Now man despises that doctrine. And they love religious error, or they would love to have no religion at all. The departure of this spiritual Israel is parallel to the Israel of old. We see such an infusion of human doctrine and traditions because mankind does not respect God's word anymore. There's a desire for themselves to be like all the others. And that culmination of the rebellion, it says we're not going to walk therein. We look at the state of our nation today and we sit in there wondering what's going to happen. People are fretting. You can hear it in their voices. They're worried about it. I'm not worried one way or the other for myself. For myself, I can endure because I know I only have a short time to endure it. But for my children, for my grandchildren, that is going to have to live this 80, 100 years down the road, that's my fear. What kind of world, what kind of nation are we going to leave them? And brethren, with the four candidates that we have as a selection, it proves my point in the broken cisterns. If this is the best that we have, our nation is in serious trouble. In serious trouble. My desire is whoever gets in can blow up the political parties and let this be a nation of we the people again, and let the majority who want to hold fast the truths, want to hold fast morality, will prevail, and not this special interest or that special interest that guides the country today. In a little over a week, we have to sit down and make a hard choice. A hard choice. And I'd venture to say that almost all of us, if we vote, is going to be holding our noses to pull the lever. But a choice has to be made. But we can protect our children today. But we can protect our grandchildren by doing exactly what God had commanded Israel in Deuteronomy 6 to do, to teach them each and every day His word and commandments, to get them to learn those things so they are so ingrained within their hearts, no matter what they are forced upon the outside, they will not forget them. But also do it with the examples that you show them, standing for the right and condemning the wrong. What condition is your cistern in this morning? That's a question I think is fair to ask. Has the pollution of the world filtered in and gotten into your water? If you're not a Christian, your water's polluted. It's not fit to drink. But the living waters of God is there for all who will take it. By obeying the gospel, you are taking that fountain of life. You're drinking of those spiritual waters that will ensure your spiritual health and your salvation. If you have not obeyed the gospel, we want to give you that opportunity this morning to make it known. We want to hear your confession. We want to see you baptized for the remission of sins. But you have to be willing to repent and to do away with the lifestyle that you have been living, and willing to change it for the better. If you are a Christian, I ask the condition of your cistern. Has it become polluted also? Is it something that you need to do to change that? To bring back that relationship that you once had with God. We want to give you that opportunity also. If there's something that needs to be done in a public way, we want to give you that opportunity. If it's something that needs to be private, I beg you, that's the earliest opportunity, to get on your knees and pray to God for forgiveness. If anyone has a need this morning, won't you come as together we stand and we sing.